of the Transfiguration Sunday from Matthew chapter 17. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be a follower of Jesus while he was living and walking the earth? And to be one of his followers who had opportunities to go on long walks with Jesus and ask him lots of questions and let him answer them firsthand without having any kind of interpreter to go through. No theologians, no preachers, no evangelists. Just Jesus. And wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been on that one really special long hike up the mountain like Peter and James and John were with Jesus? And then after that long, dusty hike up the mountain, to suddenly see Jesus transformed or transfigured, becoming gleaming white. I'm trying to make sense of that. But then also to see Moses and Elijah. You have to wonder how they identified them. I always wondered, did they introduce themselves? "Hi, I'm Moses." You know, they didn't have photographs. But they knew who they were when they got there. Can you imagine? And being just three ordinary fishermen, common, ordinary people, no different than you or I, meeting up not only with the transformed Jesus in dazzling white clothing, but also to meet up with Elijah. Now, these were good Jewish men. You know, they remembered the stories of Elijah, and they also remembered that Elijah was caught up into the heavens, and so they expected that Elijah would come back. You know, at a Jewish Passover, they set a place for Elijah so that during the Passover, just in case Elijah came back, there'd be a place for him. So they were expecting Elijah to come back. And here he was. And then there was Moses. Moses, as we heard Marilyn read in the first lesson, had face-to-face conversations with God and didn't die. That was a big deal. Moses, who heard the commandments from God with his own ears. And these are very significant people in the history of our faith. And it was just three common fishermen. Three common fishermen who never went to Bible studies, they got to see this. Think of being there. Being on that mountain with the most important people of our faith history. And now, as we think about being there with them, would any of us not have done what Peter did? Peter knew that first lesson, by the way, and knew that Moses stayed on the mountain with God for 40 days. So, you know, the thought of constructing a little something for shelter might not have been a bad idea. If there was a shrine, then the disciples could just stay on the mountain. Stay in that sweet spot and talk to all three of these guys and feel safe and comfortable on what would no doubt be the most holy and sacred ground on the entire planet. But once again, we know how the story ends before the disciples do. And so all we can think is Peter's comment about building tents or dwellings or shrines, thinking that's a little off the wall. And Peter probably thought that too just as soon as he said it. Because Peter's one of my favorite characters in the Gospels, because he's always sticking his foot in his mouth. But Jesus loved him. But as soon as he said that, Moses and Elijah disappeared. They're gone. And it didn't seem to matter much what Peter had to say, because right after he said it, a cloud came over them, and just like it was at Jesus' baptism, the voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my son. This is my son." And to make it perfectly clear, Moses and Elijah are gone. They are never heard about again. They don't show up anymore. The voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly they looked around. There was no one but Jesus alone. Only Jesus, says the text. Only Jesus. It's kind of like saying only eternal life. Right? Only the life-giving salvation of God. They looked around, they saw no one anymore but Jesus alone. Only Jesus. And they came down from the mountain. Jesus alone. Which gives hope to all Christians, even today. You know, maybe sometimes we've had mountaintop experiences. Times which are just so good we don't want them to end. Maybe special retreats when God seems very close. And when God seems to answer prayers directly and in a timely fashion and the way we'd like to see them answered. You know, we have those mountaintop experiences, and I think we do want to hold on to them. We don't want them to end. But when they do, and we look around a bit, we, like the disciples, can also realize that Jesus is still there with us. After the mountaintop experience, Jesus will be with us in that long walk down the valley. I remember my first congregation. We had a Bible camp just a couple miles away from this tiny town that we served. And I remember a dear parishioner, a very devout fellow, had a couple teenage kids. And he would talk with us about this internal struggle that he and his wife always had about sending their kids to Bible camp. He said, "I love sending them to Bible camp. And they come back from Bible camp so charged up and so full of faith. And they love Bible camp. But the week after Bible camp, they're always too depressed to get out of their bedrooms. Because they've come down the mountain." Okay? They've come down the mountain. And that happens. You know, we do have those special moments. I hope that you find those special moments when God seems so close. Because God is so close. But when you're not feeling all charged up and singing hallelujahs, God is not any further away than God was when you were all alone. Jesus alone is still with you. Transfiguration is an interesting sort of holiday. It's, you know, only liturgical churches celebrate it as a day. Just like at Christmas and Easter and Epiphany and Christ the King, we put out our shining white garments on the altar, on the pulpit, and we call it a festive day. A day in which we remember the glory of Jesus. And yet on this festival day, we're also reminded that the most solemn day of the church year, Ash Wednesday, is a mere 3 days away. Sometimes it's difficult to keep up with a calendar like this, but that is the nature of our life in Christ. The mountaintop experience of Transfiguration had to end. For Peter and James and John, they had to come down that mountain. And they not only had to come down the mountain, but they also had to walk the long road to Calvary with Jesus. Being with Jesus in his worst hour, being with Jesus at his arrest and his trial and his death. By Good Friday, I imagine these three disciples thought that the mountaintop experience was just a figment of their imaginations. But this is the way of the Christian life. No matter how dazzling the transfiguration, there can be no real glory, no eternal glory, until after the cross. Lent and Good Friday must always lie between transfiguration and Easter. But like the disciples, we are sometimes given a little foretaste of that glory to give us hope in the meantime. We can't go up the mountain to be with Jesus, but he still comes to us. And he becomes a part of us, even as we take the name Christian. As Paul said, all of us with unveiled faces see the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror. All of us are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory into another. It's the transforming of Jesus that Jesus does within us as well that makes us who we are as Christians. Our good news is whether we have had the mountaintop experiences that we ought to hold on to but have to come down from, or whether we're still waiting for an experience that's worth trying to hang on to. We know that in the doubt or loneliness or in our fears of the valley, our Lord's with us and is enough. When we look around and see other things fading away, whether they be a stable economy or children leaving home or a type of lifestyle that we want to hang on to or friendships, when we look around and see any of those things fade away, we can know that even if It looks like we're all alone, there's no one around. Jesus is still there. And even if, as was the case for the disciples, we look around and we see no one but only Jesus, we can have the full assurance and the hope that Jesus is enough. And know that one day, we too will see Jesus in all his glory. In the clothes of dazzling white. And we will also be pure and free from sin and all that weighs us down. We have that hope. We have that assurance. Jesus alone is all that we need. And with that assurance, we can allow ourselves to come down from the mountain. And even if we never see a mountaintop experience in our lifetimes, we know we have what we need in Christ our Lord. Amen.